This program is made possible through the financial support of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.
It is my great honor to welcome to the stage Commissioner Teresa Lovers.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chris, for your continuing leadership at the Commission for Higher Education. I really believe that you are uniquely qualified for this role, to really bring together educators and employers, because this holds the best promise of really meeting the workforce needs by investing in the people who do the work. The Commission has been led by visionary leaders since we were created in state statute in 1971, and none more suited for this role than you. For nearly three decades, Chris has been at the center of many of the most important discussions about education and the economy. And as we consider the challenges and promises of higher education in 2019, we look to you and to other members of the Commission to build on the strong legacy to ensure an even better future for more Hoosiers. Will you please join me in acknowledging the members of the Commission who are here with us today and thank them for their service? Let me begin by saying that the state of higher education in Indiana is strong and getting stronger. More Indiana students are graduating from college than ever before, and on-time completion rates are improving across all public campuses, an increase of 14 percentage points in the past 5 years. The return on investment in education is measurable and increasing too. The added earnings of a degree more than exceed the cost of college, including debt, within a few years after graduation. While the value of higher education is undeniable, the return on investment depends greatly on what students study and how they finance their education. More than three-quarters of graduates stay in Indiana upon graduation and are contributing $13 billion or more in additional spending and revenue compared to a high school graduating class. That good news story should not mask the reality that higher education must evolve. And progress is not assured without a continuing focus on student success, accountability, and innovation. At the Commission, we are committed to meeting these expectations in partnership with the colleges and universities who prepare the students for the jobs of today and tomorrow. More than ever, the imperative to develop human capital is the most critical issue facing the state of Indiana. It is the central focus of Governor Holcomb's vision to create a system that increases personal prosperity and well-being, meets the needs of employers, and strengthens the state's economy. This need was recognized by policymakers and employers who embraced the creation of the governor's workforce cabinet and its recommendations. But lest we think we are unique in this regard, it's clear that investing in the workforce has been a central focus in other states as well. In 2018 alone, 15 states enacted more than 30 bills addressing workforce development and work-aligned educational opportunities. Too often, the question of whether we need more education or more training permeates our policy and funding decisions. I'd like to make a case why pitting these against each other, or more accurately, talking about them in separate ways, is counterproductive to our need to align strategies and design career pathways. This is the key: educational pathways that provide opportunity and advancement and that ensure an accessible and open system for all and a stronger democracy. Our colleagues at Education Strategy Group put it this way: we believe that success should be defined in part based on our ability to prepare students for success at the next level. This model includes both academic and applied learning in an integrated system that is not episodic but continual. Chris Delarocas writes about higher education in a world where students never graduate. He stresses that universities have the opportunity, and I would offer the obligation, to become centers for learning, career direction, and networking for life. For the past 5 years, we have been laser-focused on the need to serve working-age adults in the education system. With more than a 15% gap in our 60% education attainment goal, we must train and reskill adults for a changing economy that demands new and higher-level skills. That means we need to reach more than 1.5 million working-age adults without a credential beyond high school. We're making progress with the state's Next Level Jobs campaign that sends a clear message and funding to get students to reskill and improve their employability prospects to meet the needs of our employers. Thousands of Hoosiers have responded, but that's not enough. So we'll be redoubling our efforts, just as the General Assembly is doubling the funding. Our institutions must also serve these adults by recognizing experience gained through prior learning assessments and competency-based education that values knowledge gained through experience, saving adults time and money. The other day, I had the pleasure of talking to Andrew Nagel, a former combat medic and instructor who retired after serving 22 years in the Army Reserve. During his time in the military, Andrew became a licensed practical nurse through a 2-year program while on active duty. He then spent roughly a decade of his military career training Army combat medics in a pre-deployment program so they would be prepared to treat medical traumas in the field. Andrew's goal had always been to become a registered nurse, and so when he retired, he began looking into educational opportunities and discovered WGU Indiana. WGU Indiana offers a competency-based model for higher education, which works well for adults like Andrew who need to manage their studies around work schedules. Through WGU, Andrew has been able to move more quickly through some of his coursework due to the medical experience that he had gained in the military. In fact, he'll graduate with his bachelor's degree later this year after 2.5 years at WGU. In addition, he's been able to work at the VA hospital while he completes his degree. The bottom line, and many schools are offering opportunities like this as well, but the bottom line is that adults like Andrew who come back to higher education with work-based experience have a different path than students who enter college directly from high school. And we need to find better ways to acknowledge their experience and speed their time to completion, work with their schedules, and ultimately save these students time and money. In thinking about career pathways, let's recall what happens when Hoosiers are not provided pathways in times of economic change. Like some of you in the audience, not too many of you because not many are as old as I am, but like some of you in the audience, I grew up in a time and a place that provided ample work opportunities without education beyond high school. Hard work was the ticket to success. If you'll indulge me, I'll be a little personal in my historical context. My parents are great examples of this era, both attaining success in their lives with a high school diploma. My dad sold cars for a living and later managed or owned his own dealerships. Until Indiana's blue law passed, requiring dealerships to be closed on Sunday, he worked 7 days and 6 nights every week. He provided job opportunities to more people than I know. But the economy shifted, and many people who were employed in the auto industry, either making or selling cars, saw job opportunities shrink. It's also important to say that new job opportunities were created, but many people were left behind because they did not receive the preparation that was needed in a dynamic international marketplace. Vehicle sales actually doubled during the period of 1947 to 1972, as more cars were available at less cost for more people. But without the necessary investment in our people, as jobs changed and manufacturing moved into a new era, we witnessed a decline in both jobs and per capita income. My mother's story, on the other hand, is a different one. Smart as a whip and hardworking too, she transitioned from a job as a secretary to motherhood to a return to work that included stints in both the financial and educational sectors. Like my dad, she worked the number of hours necessary to do the job right. She learned new skills on the job and never had the opportunity or really the need to return for more formal education. It's safe to say that by the end of my parents' careers, the job requirements for their roles had changed substantially. The hard work they displayed was still necessary, but not sufficient for the qualifications needed in the new economy. In many ways, this is the story we are facing today and where we need to focus our efforts, preparing people for the future. A Brookings study came out recently, and it highlighted Indiana as the state most at risk of job loss due to automation. The routine task-intensive occupations in manufacturing, transportation, and agriculture, sectors that are key to our economy, are considered the most vulnerable. New jobs will be created, but the report also shows that the more education workers have, the safer they are from job loss through automation. We must commit to doing things differently this time by investing in our people, especially with the velocity of technological change. If we fail to do so, we will be contributing to greater income disparity and social stratification. There are multiple pathways to a good job. At the same time we bring adults back, we must ensure that our young Hoosiers graduate from high school prepared for the world of work and higher learning. The truth is, and we must be clear about this, it's possible but increasingly rare that a high school diploma will be adequate or a lifetime credential. While some high school graduates may be prepared to go into the job market directly from high school, the key word is prepared. A high school diploma coupled with an industry certification or workforce credential can jumpstart a career, but it is likely to be the beginning of job preparation, not the end. Likewise, for those who continue with formal education after high school, and two-thirds of our high school graduates will, we have an obligation to better align what they learn with their career goals. A clearer understanding of job opportunities and requirements and earlier exposure to both are essential to making smart higher education decisions, and work-based experience should be the expectation, not the exception. We frequently look to other countries for a blueprint for reforming our system, and there is much we can learn by doing so, starting with a willingness to embrace a broader view of the pathways that value work. But we need to do this through the American lens of right fit and opportunity for all. Governor Holcomb's Next Level Jobs initiative does it the Hoosier way. Meet people where they are and help them move to the next level. The good news is that we are working more closely with our K-12 partners to improve preparation and smooth college and career transitions. In fact, over the course of the last year, the Indiana Post-Secondary Transitions Committee, which is composed of 15 higher education and K-12 leaders, met and developed a set of recommendations that were unanimously supported by the Indiana Commission for Higher Education and the State Board of Education. We agreed to develop and scale post-secondary transition pathways, beginning with a 12th grade math course that ensures more students are college ready. We agreed to promote navigational supports and activities for all students, such as those that are required and improving success rates for our 21st century scholars.
We agreed to expand the use of key post-secondary transition data to facilitate cross-sector collaboration. Our belief is that these joint strategies will improve post-secondary preparation and student success. We know that success in higher education begins in high school and even earlier. These recommendations reflect the goals that have been outlined in our strategic plan, Reaching Higher, Delivering Value, and will be the theme for this year's Weldon Conference, our annual higher education convening. We're encouraged by the progress reflected in our recently distributed College and Career Readiness Report that shows more students are ready. Remediation rates are down dramatically. 12% of students needing remediation when entering college compared to 28% in 2012. More students are earning college credit in high school, 64% compared to 47% just 4 years ago, resulting in substantial savings to students and families and the state. Dual credit courses save students and families an estimated $60 million in tuition costs. And while racial, ethnic, and income gaps remain, our 21st century scholars are seeing double-digit improvement in college access, persistence, and completion. First-generation students who are not 21st century scholars are not experiencing similar levels of success. Even if we succeed in preparing students for the next step after high school, they are likely to return for formal or informal learning as the jobs and economy change. This need, together with other challenges facing higher education, requires a new vision. This year, the Commission is undertaking strategic planning, which will result in an updated blueprint for Indiana's higher education system. One that addresses demographic and enrollment patterns, financial pressures, new providers and ways of learning, quality assurance, workforce needs, and technology and automation disruption, all with an eye to return on investment for students and the state. Many believe, and I am one of them, that higher education is at a crossroads. We have seen the closure of some colleges, and many others are vulnerable because of their financial model and enrollment declines. Birth rates have declined in this country by as much as 13% from 2007 to 2012. The growth in college-going rates may have peaked, which threatens more institutional closures or the need to eliminate faculty and staff positions. Indiana's most recent college readiness report shows a decline in college-going rates from 65% 2 years ago to 64% last year to 63% in the most recent report. We also hear stories about students who lack employment skills upon graduation. Colleges will continue to be pressured to provide relevant degrees, and employers must do a better job signaling what they need that is not available in the talent pool. Alternative providers are moving in and challenging traditional colleges with offers of more timely, personalized career preparation. While Indiana has made significant gains thanks to our colleges and universities in controlling college costs, the value proposition for higher education is also being challenged, as the percentage of borrowers and debt remains unacceptably high. As serious as debt is for the graduate, consider the impact for students who leave before completing. We have to do a better job in controlling costs and helping students handle their finances, or risk them choosing to not enter or to leave before they complete. Even if these forecasts are extreme, there is little doubt that disruption is underway and must be met with a new higher education compact, one that provides more people with affordable and flexible learning options while preserving quality and advancing economic opportunity. Our system of higher education must adapt to today's learners by offering more personalized, more just-in-time, and more continuous learning. Personalization means the needs of the individual learner should drive the delivery system, whether that's the 18-year-old college freshman or the 35-year-old returning adult. A one-size-fits-all system is not what students expect or deserve, any more than patients want an old system of healthcare that fails to provide options or embrace technological advances. And like healthcare, there is no compromise for quality when we expand learning opportunities. A customized system also allows students to make more data-driven decisions, from the choice of college to what to study to job market needs. The concepts of just-in-time and continuous learning may seem at odds, but they are really in keeping with the idea of right fit for students based on job needs. Adults looking for better opportunities often gravitate to short-term quality certificates to propel their careers. Arthur Levine writes about the just-in-time learner revolution as a radical departure from a system rooted in Carnegie units by deliberately and intentionally championing variation focused on learning and outcomes rather than the duration of the time spent learning them. Likewise, more and more adults will return to higher education, even if they have a degree, to advance their careers in light of changing job requirements. One of the fastest growing areas on many campuses is executive and continuing education for alums and others who need to gain new credentials. Pop-up or mini courses are being offered to teach a specific skill or new technology in a condensed time frame. To make these models successful, employers and educators need to work together, from defining what skills are needed to providing affordable pathways to get them. I like the way Stephanie Sanford of the College Board puts it: knowledge, skills, agency. People learn things, learn how to do things, and then discover that they can use all that to make a difference in the world. Of course, it begins with learning things. The best opportunity for increasing higher education's value proposition is by building a system around the learner, both recent high school graduates and returning adults, that prepares them for a dynamic economy. When we do this well, and I am confident that higher education leaders are committed to a student-centered system that does that, we will ensure that our state's best days are coming, and we are prepared. Thank you. Thank you.
This program is made possible through the financial support of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.